A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Kenobi's Force Center, the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsack.
I'm Joseph Kenobi. No, Joseph Scrimshaw. I remember my own name. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And Jennifer Landa.
All of it works. It is a Kenobi season indeed. We are here to talk some Star Wars news, some of which doesn't have anything to do with Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I was going to even joke, well, that's refreshing. I'm fine if everything is Obi-Wan Kenobi for at least a month. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm happy to have Kenobi fever as long as possible.
Yeah, we're all wearing Kenobi sweatpants. No shoes, no sandals. It is a special thing. Hey, before we get into the breaking news from a long time ago, we are going to let you all know, as always, the podcast is brought to you today by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we will have some homework for you. Actually, a suggestion of an audiobook we think you should read or try out on us. We always love to catch up, talk about Star Wars adventures, life adventures. It was a Mother's Day weekend. Jen, this was a good weekend for you, we hope, yeah?
Yeah, it was. And it was May the 4th. So it was quite a celebratory week and weekend. We didn't get to watch anything on Star Wars on Star Wars Day. It was a long story. My youngest almost lost her tooth, which would have been fine. You know, it's a baby tooth, but we don't want to lose teeth just yet. So that overtook our day. So we did watch Star Wars Rebels on Saturday, and it was awesome. At first, my six-year-old, we watched the World Between Worlds episode. Episodes. So the first one, you know, with the Lothcats, the Lothwolves, that really got her hooked. She's like, I want to watch the next one. I said, great. Everything's awesome. She's so intrigued, asking a ton of questions. And then Emperor Palpatine shows up. And I see the blanket. Literally, she threw the blanket over her head. This is not like her. And I was like, oh. I thought she was joking around. And my husband's looking at me like, And I, are you scared? I asked her, why does he have fire? We had to turn it off.
Wow.
She was scared. Yeah. She's kind of has a thing with fire recently because they've been doing fire drills at school. So maybe that has something to do with it. She's like, I don't want to watch Star Wars Rebels anymore. And I went, no.
Wow. I can kind of see that if you are going through a journey where you're really starting to relate to the characters, right? Where you're seeing yourself in Ezra. And then if you haven't spent enough time with Palpatine to become kind of desensitized to him.
Oh,
and he just pops up as this like wrinkled mean grandpa who shoots lightning fire.
Absolutely. That's what the. Oh my gosh. I wish I would have had you there on the sidelines. It's okay. I thought, oh no, I ruined her relationship with Star Wars. But that's right. She sees herself in Ezra. She's fallen in love with Ahsoka. And so, yeah, seeing them in danger like that was really scary for her. My 2-year-old, meanwhile, was like, yeah, she's eating her dinner. And she's like, oh, blue fire. All right.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. And she does not want to watch the live action films. You know, that's another thing. Mm. And I thought, well, maybe it's because she's too scared because it seems too real. So we'll get there. Back to the Ewoks we go.
Some dancing Ewoks. You can't go wrong there.
That's right.
There's some scary monsters there too.
Yeah, exactly.
I was, I was a scaredy cat kid, which is an okay thing. You got to work through that. And the Gorax? Oof.
Yes.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Large Marge and the Gorax still got it.
Many things didn't scare me. And then I would take myself by surprise as a kid when something scared me because I didn't understand what we were just talking about. Where there'd be like a high stakes scene and I'm really invested in a specific character. And I'd watch violence and gunfire and all that was on television. And then only every once in a while would I suddenly freak out. And then I'd be like, why am I freaking out?
Right.
You're right. I was invested in the Ballad of Pee Wee Herman. That's why Large Marge scared me so much.
Oh, me too. Oh my gosh. Yes.
You leave Pee Wee alone.
I wish Joseph was on the sidelines for me when I was about 10. That would have been great.
Exactly.
Well, Jen, we wish you a happy Mother's Day, belated as it is here at Force Center. And to
all
the mothers out there in Star Wars and out. Joseph, no Mother's Day for you other than maybe calling Mom. But, you know, how did it all go?
Oh, it was a good week. Star Wars Day, May the 4th, was a ton of fun. You know, woke up early and read the Legends Kenobi book and then had to put that down to watch the Kenobi trailer and then record our reaction, Ken. And then I bought two Kenobi action figures. And then I watched the Book of Boba Fett Disney Gallery with my wife in the evening. And that was great. And I watched one of those Galaxy of Sounds episodes, which I haven't had time for on Disney Plus. Yeah. That they're broken down on themes and it's the music and the dialogue stripped away and it's just the sounds. But it was, I watched the light side one, and that was just like, hey, I could meditate to this. This was great. It was a nice moment to add to May the 4th. And then the other like fun Star Wars thing is we went to see Doctor Strange, which I enjoyed very much in the Multiverse of Madness. Sarah and I did an episode of my other podcast, Obsessed, about that. If there are any MCU fans listening who want to hear our thoughts about that movie. And then we had a drink with a friend we went to see the show with, and it was fun because I was like totally in, like, I love Star Wars, but now I'm focusing on Marvel and we're talking all about it. And Sarah goes, Star Wars is everywhere. And she points above the bar and there is an ad at this bar for Revenge of the Sixth, not the Fifth.
Well,
yeah.
To celebrate Revenge of the Sixth, they had the Darth Malt.
Oh my gosh.
I took a picture of it. It's the Darth Malt is made with Woodenville bourbon, vanilla ice cream with vanilla malt Whoppers.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Star fan Wars of Whoppers. Is everywhere, friends.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a fan of Whoppers.
Steal that recipe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So those were my adventures this week.
I love it. Direct to the point. And Jen, Jen, you're on deck. We forgot. We got to ask you about the Kenobi trailer there. So I was springing that on you there. I'll give you a second to gather any thoughts. We want to make sure we get your take on that. Yeah. You know, I think because of Star Wars Day, I think I had a quieter Star Wars related week after that. Did watch the Book of Boba Fett behind the scenes, which we're going to talk about this week on the deep dive. But I watched that later in the week and just kind of, I don't know. You know, it is. You just kind of take a little bit of a break sometimes from Star Wars and unintentionally. I did finally finish Lego, the Skywalker Saga, the story mode. I got to tell you, I have some thoughts on the Rise of Skywalker level. I think they shortchanged some things a little bit. I didn't.
Oh, did they narratively or just like the amount of gameplay?
The amount of gameplay, it was, I don't mind it being fast because the free play I think is the big draw. And I had fun taking Infus Nest and young Han Solo around Bright Tree Village. That was fun. Imagining what could have been if they teamed up. You know, I was playing that out in my head and then had to switch to Rey to get the glider because I needed the glider. So that was fun. No major complaint about it. Just, I don't know. I finally got there and it took a while. I took a big break from the game and went back. And like one of the missions was just following Luke around. Great, but that was the mission. Like, I just followed Luke around. Didn't do anything. Didn't fight. Ghost Luke, yeah, which is great.
Oh.
But that was
he
the
doing?
Mission.
Like, fishing for ghost fish?
I wish. It's just, you know, to go get the X-Wing up, you know, and you know, you have everything you need. So, it was, you know, I love that stuff. Love that scene. I just, that was a personal thing for me. I don't know. I just felt there wasn't as much to do. And I thought there was there throughout the game, there's been some interesting choices of what is a mission versus what isn't a mission. And I don't have I'm not pounding my fist on any mistakes they made in those choices. Just, I don't know. This one stood out a little bit. I was actually like, oh, I would have liked to have done this instead. I, you know, followed Luke around, which is not a bad thing to do in life.
Could do that in real life, follow Ghost Luke around that island, that sounds like a great day.
Right. Yeah, so all this, it sounds like I'm being, you know, complaining about being negative. It just was, I was a little let down, but then I was like, but you know what? I can go to free play now, so I've earned that. So there you go. So I'll be talking about my adventures of weird pairings in Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I just hear kind of Papa Bear love and defense of Rise of Skywalker, that you want it to be fully embraced and get its fair due everywhere.
And some great mission stuff going on in there, to be clear. But yes, there's a little bit of that, and I don't think the game intentionally shortchanged it. I don't think it was a statement on the movie. I just think. All the levels, every movie had some of those weird choices made for what is a mission, what isn't a mission. I just felt this one, it stood out to me more. So I don't know. I'll go replay it and see what's there for me instead. So before we get to news, Jen, we do want to look back. We didn't get a chance to chat with you because of schedule on the Kenobi reaction. Trailer, your thoughts. What did you think? Did you jump for joy? Make a TikTok? What'd you do?
You know, I feel like I only think I watched it like twice, which is unusual for me. There was so much happening on May the 4th.
Yeah.
I ended up actually focusing more on the Boba Fett Disney Gallery. that was spectacular. We spent a lot of time on that. I mean, just, but going back to Kenobi, part of me, I loved it. I thought it was great. And then I started to get worried because I thought, oh, no, I'm going to start putting pieces together. Yeah. I'm going to start speculating a little bit too much. I don't want to see any more from this point on, which I know is not going to happen. But I just, I loved it. And I guess Darth Vader, he is a presence, but it doesn't feel like it's, he's not like totally at the forefront of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's there's so much happening with the Inquisitors and the Grand Inquisitor. Darth Vader is going to be not a small part, but I think sprinkled in a perfect amount is what I'm saying.
I think that's so perceptive of what the trailer is he's the shadow of the trailers, right? So like, I think the show is going to deal with Vader's perspective up to a point, but like in this trailer, it's all about like, this is the inescapable, you know, wound that Kenobi needs to face. Everything in the trailer is about like, you can't escape Vader. he's right. coming for you. He's putting his limbs on. You're in trouble.
Right. Exactly. Yes. But I love seeing his relationship and the relationship between him and Owen. Oh my gosh. I remember I was talking about that all along the SmackDown.
Yes.
But that's great. Yeah. So
great.
I'll have to go back and really dive into it like I normally do.
I think you hit the gut reactions there. And then, yeah, the Book of Boba thing, the BTS, like I said, we'll discuss it more deep on Thursday. But yeah, you took to that too then, huh?
Oh, that to me was what an answer to my dreams. You know, I love the behind the scenes featurettes. And with the first Disney gallery, I felt like I didn't get as much behind the scenes, which I understand, right? They didn't want to reveal Baby Yoda, obviously. So this was just like being a fly on the wall, seeing some of the drama while also getting those, you know, not confessionals, but being able to talk with the creators after the fact. I think that that's important too. But yeah, I thought it was outstanding. And Temuera Morrison, what he brought to that role, again, I just was like, he was so perfect, the perfect actor for the role, not just because he obviously played, you know, Django earlier on, but so.
We're going to obviously talk about it more, but I just kind of want to hang out with him.
Just yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, even at just like the most basic level, that Disney gallery is just wall to wall charm. Every actor, every, you know, designer, everyone is just like, I want to hear everything you have to say about not only this process, but it just seems like you would all be fun to hang out and have a Darth Malt with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please.
And everyone's so passionate and you know, so invested. And, you know, Doug Chang getting I mean, it just was all of it was just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Glad you get to take that in. Glad it hit you as it did us as well. So good stuff. Yeah. More Doug Chang in an N1 cockpit just flying around.
Exactly.
Just flying around.
Yeah. Oh, the look on his face was great.
It was indeed. Yeah. Well, from there, we're going to get to Star Wars news, and we're not leaving the behind-the-scenes stuff there. This was revealed also on May the 4th, but I mean, I'm not going to say buried. You could get the news anywhere, but I tried to pull some stories for this, and it wasn't really on StarWars.com. It wasn't really out there as much, and so that's why I kind of flew under the radar screen. This is the Light and Magic docuseries on the way. This is a Lawrence Kasdan directed, James Newton Howard composing the score, and Ron Howard and Brian Fraser are the executive producers. This is a 6-part documentary series that will go into the creation, history, and influence of industrial light and magic. Pretty straightforward there. Begins on July 27th. There will also be a panel at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim on Friday. I don't know what time slot that is in. All interesting stuff. All kind of a surprise. I hadn't heard a bunch of this. I know there was some stuff out there earlier in the year or last year. Someone had kind of said this, that this was happening and Kasdan was working on it. But I don't think we spent a lot of time dwelling on that. So good information, good surprise. Team, what are we looking forward to when this series comes out? Jen, I'm going to start with you because this is BTS to the max.
Oh, yeah. This is BTX. BTX. Oh, my gosh.
No, BTS.
R-rated, X-rated.
I tell you, I'm like moving from room to room right now, listeners and friends, because in my backyard, somebody has a chainsaw or something. And then in the front area, their garbage truck keeps coming and people are moving the garbage can. So I'm just, who knows where I'll be next. Yes. Good. So, but behind the scenes look, you know, I'm hoping that what I'm hoping for, especially with Lawrence Kasdan as a director, is to have a story. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't just throw the clips at me, which I know that they won't. I want to feel the drama. You know, like we saw with the Revenge of the Sith documentary or behind the scenes. I like to see them have a tough time. How do they come to these decisions? How do they make these designs work? Show me when it fails, you know? That's kind of what I want to see. And I think we're going to get that. I'm hoping. But yeah. I think we will.
I think that's a really great thing to pick up on because it's really intriguing that Lawrence Kasdan, who's obviously a director, but is also like a writer who is going to look at things from a narrative way. That's my big hope, too, that this is, you know, that obviously we will spend some time with the key figures, you know, Dennis Muir and John Knoll and all those people, but really in a linear way that, and go through like the narrative thread of their careers of where did this start? What were they involved in? And also not just as a highlight reel, but in that narrative structure, the watershed moments that are Star Wars in the watershed moments of ILM that are not Star Wars, you know, like the, the water creatures in Abyss and T-1000 in T2 and Jurassic Park and like those moments where new possibilities opened up to the entire industry because of one specific challenge that they, you know, accomplished.
I'm right there with you on that. It's so easy just to think of it all in terms of Star Wars. But man, ILM and Skywalker Sound and all those things that kind of sprung out. And again, watch the Empires of Dreams doc, and they run through a list of things at the end that that George and everyone involved helped to kind of put out into the world. So I think you're right, Joseph. I'd love to dive into what the process was to make that happen. The first time they're like, hey, let's take this outside the walls of Star Wars. I also want an entire episode devoted to George kind of, you know, like Jesus throwing the money changers out of the temple when he comes down to Van Nuys and is like, what the hell's going on around here?
Oh, yes.
And Dykstra and his hippies just messing about and messing, you know, I'm fascinated with the drama there. Like Jen, like you said, some mistakes, some of the trials, some of the errors. I don't need the dirt. It's part of the history and part of just some really creative people getting a wonderful opportunity to just create everything from scratch and invent things because they needed to. And where that went from there, just fascinating. So I'm very intrigued by the series. You know?
Yeah, it's fun to think that that particular sort of genesis story of ILM with that conflict is old enough that Lawrence Kasdan might really be getting multiple angles on it. You know, unlike, you know, some more recent controversies, you're probably not going to have people really dive into.
Yeah.
But that's old enough that maybe you will.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always fascinated by, you know, even in the Empire of Dreams doc where they have John Dykstra there, even he's kind of like, you know, if George is unhappy, it makes me unhappy. You know, it's like, what? Go into more.
Yeah. George is my other big hope, right? Because I think we talked about it that lot with that very short, but absolutely packed little mini documentary Under the Helmet, where we had fresh interview footage with Lucas. I'm wondering if there's still going to be a Kenobi version of that kind of little half hour celebration of the character that has some more interviews with Lucas, with Ben Burtt. But the idea that Kasdan could have sat down and interviewed George about ILM specifically is really fascinating. And, you know, Lucas has always been so big on the battle about, you know, people thinking these kind of tools are shortcuts and not real cinema and that kind of thing. And he's always pushed back so much of like, they are tools to open up our imagination and make things that we could never see on the screen before happen on screen. To sort of kind of see how much that spirit is in this documentary. Is this documentary going to be kind of an essay defending that perspective that they're not a cheap shortcut? CGI is real cinema.
ILM is a dream factory to me. It sounds like a bumper sticker type of sentiment, but it really is. It's a big, that why not sentiment we always talk about. This was more than why not. This was, we need, let's create this. We got to do this, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, Jen, I really like your take on the narrative approach and telling the story. Six episodes. And I'm glad to hear that, right, Jen? Like we're going to spend a lot of time.
Yeah. And I think having Kasdan do it, you know, there's something about when somebody that's part of the family, that's inside, that's a friend, interviews another friend, right? Mm-hmm. It immediately disarms the interviewee. They're looser. There might be cracking jokes. They might accidentally let something slip that they normally would be on guard for. Because people sometimes get a little on edge when they're being interviewed. They feel like they're going to get caught, right? And so there's something really nice that this is a man who not only witnessed it, but was a part of it, and has, I'm sure, had many conversations with these people on and off set. And that's, to me, that's, oh, this is like gold. I'm chomping at the bit waiting for it. I can't wait to see what they reveal too at Celebration.
Yeah. This, the panel will be fun too. And just, you know, Lawrence Kasdan to me is his own kind of character. You know, we always, you know, everyone's got even a Kasdan impression too, but I'm not expecting to hear his voice or anything in this series, who knows, but just maybe at a panel to reveal, especially from a writer, you touched on Joseph as a writer who had to dream up things on paper that then this company had to then turn into reality, and not just in Star Wars, but Raiders of the Lost Ark or anything like that. That's going to be, he clearly has a love for this side of the business, I think.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And that panel is a pretty amazing collection of humans who have affected the film and television industry.
Indeed. Can't wait to watch this one beginning on July 27th. Where does that fit in with Andor Bad Batch? I don't know. Do we have a BTS night? And this is not to sound like a sales pitch for Disney Plus. Choose your tier that you'd like to subscribe at. No, this is just what I love, the idea of this service, and at least having that Star Wars tab where all this kind of stuff can exist. Narrative, live action animation, and the behind the scenes stuff. I love it so much. So cool. There you go. Big story. Other story, we're talking toys. Lucasfilm and Funko are launching the Power of the Galaxy series. We don't cover toy stuff as much today, though. It seems like it's a day for toys. But this one stood out to me when I was scrolling through the news just because I went, ooh, look at that Padme. And that started my deep dive into this. Lucasfilm and Funko have announced this Power of the Galaxy line of Pops. They are an Amazon exclusive, so do with that that you will there. if you'd like to support or not, your choice. It's a line of Pops that will be an homage to the women of the galaxy. And the first one out is this Padme, designed by Meg Dunn of Funko, and features the galaxy's favorite queen turned senator in her Revenge of the Sith, So This Is How Liberty Dies dress. Not the official title of that dress, but oh, I think everyone will know it. It will be released in July, and then a new pop featuring other women in the galaxy will follow monthly. So let's start with this overall concept, and what do we think about Padme leading off the line, Jennifer?
I love it. What a choice, right? Padme has so many outfits in the prequels, and when they chose this, I went, well, that's interesting. And then when I read the article and why they chose it and what that scene means, right? Mm-hmm. There's something about being able to see that figure on your desk. And I mean, that quote has become more relevant in even recent years, right? And so people can look at that and see that Funko Pop, and it represents something really important. And that's the power of toys sometimes. So yeah, it was a great choice. And it's such, I mean, all of her costumes are fantastic, but I love especially like the headdress piece too.
Mm. Yeah. That was interesting for me. So obviously Padme is remembered for a lot of things. We want to make sure to acknowledge that, but the dresses and the outfits are definitely part of it and part of her history, part of her legacy, and something to celebrate just as a character and what we saw on screen. So I don't think this dress gets talked about it much because I don't think you spend a lot of time with it. It's this great scene, great moment. So I thought that was even more powerful for me to pull that kind of small but important scene out and put it in the history books with Funko plastic. Joseph, your thoughts on Padme in the line?
Yeah, no, I really agree with what both of you are saying. I think the power of the Funko Pops is this idea of how do you distill a specific image, a specific moment of a character, a specific outfit of a character into kind of its minimal iconography. And I know this outfit. I like this outfit. This is one of Padme's greatest moments, most powerful moments. But then to see it just so distilled, I am seeing the dress in a new light. Because I can so focus on the details, and I think it pulls out everything Jennifer was saying. I do think that line has only become more relevant, that it crystallizes the lesson that Lucas was trying to say that is much bigger than Star Wars, that if we give in to fear as a culture and hand over our power to somebody who is not trustworthy with it, sometimes we defeat ourselves. That idea that is both, you know, that's just structural about how humans organize society and how giving into fear is not just an individual thing that can happen to somebody like Anakin. It is a group thing that can happen to all of us. That's the power of it. And then we look at the moment we're in and you look at this image of Padme. And, you know, I know it struck me before, but looking at the Funko, how that the great headwear is like, that's like the rebel crest rising, you know? I'm sure it is not intentional, but it's hard for me not to see the lacy little bit of neckwear that looks like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know? And, and this look is closer to a lot of what her looks end up being in the Clone Wars animated series. And I'm just always really affected by Padme's always one of the characters who is of space fantasy. You know, she shoots a blaster and she fights monsters. But particularly in the Clone Wars animated series, there are so many moments with Padme where it's like Star Wars is political. This is directly, you know, connected to real life and you can't ignore it. There are entire arcs where she is arguing for a progressive ideology.
Yeah.
So I just see kind of all of that baked into this when I look at it in this choice to start with it and this choice to acknowledge some of those ideas in the interview.
Yeah, and I love just what Meg Dunn was just saying on the overall choice and just her experience and interaction and perspective on Star Wars. She says, my dad took me to see The Phantom Menace on opening night and every sense of it, a special connection with the prequels. The popularity of the prequels is something that everyone at Funko has noticed as well. Stop right there. That's just an amazing sentence to hear and read and digest in 2022. Our relationship with the prequels is one we talk about often here, but just that's just a truth. And I love that it's a truth right now.
Yeah, really powerful.
So great stuff there on the line. But this, of course, no word on what else is coming. But I, you know, I wanted to do a fun spitball session here. Any other exclusive pops with this kind of, you know, reflecting specific outfits, moments and scenes featuring some of our favorite women in the galaxy. Which one of them come to mind for you all out there, Joseph? Do you have any dream pops you want here?
Yeah, I would love Asajj Ventress, particularly in a little bit more of her later bounty hunter role, where she has claimed a little bit of her own agency. Sith apprentice role would be great as well. I'd really, really love Rise of Skywalker Leia. That's what Funko Pop can deliver that nothing else is really delivering. Black Series is the thing that gets closest to just like make them all. Every character, every outfit, and the Rise of Skywalker line. They definitely did some great stuff, and it's the only place you can get some things, right? It's the only place you can get the restored Emperor in any sort of toy form. It's the only place you can get Ben Solo in any sort of toy form. So I think Rise of Skywalker Leia with that great gown really deserves the Funko Pop treatment.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Jen, what's on your wish list here?
They have done such a good job at highlighting so many women of the galaxy already. I was looking, Fennec Shand, Holdo, Frog Lady. There's a Frog Lady Funko Pop. I just was like, oh my gosh. So then I said, okay, all right, let's just get obscure with it. Okay, let's do a Princess Nisa Ewok Funko Pop. Let's do a Peli Funko Pop. Let's do Yaddle. Like, why not? We can just go crazy with this thing.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm in charge, which I'm not. And there's a reason why. Because I'd be like, make it so.
I'm in charge now, Funko. I'm in charge. Ken, do you have picks?
Yes, but I think Jen, I have to run it by her. She's in charge now.
Give me your ideas.
Talking about specific moments, I would love an Infest Nest with her mask off. Even though the mask is very key to her, the legacy passed on by her mother, what's going on with the Cloud Riders, which I can't wait to one day get more of that. There's just something so powerful. We've talked about so many times here of her taking off the mask. I always refer to her as kind of the new face of the rebellion in that moment. Joseph, you and I and Jen have discussed over the years the hyperfuel and what it represents and this hope and this new start change, all that. So mask off, maybe even drink in hand. Hand to Beckett. I need a drink. But just what that represents of her finally saying, enough, enough. I need help because we're fighting something bigger. And here I am. Here's who I am. Let's do this. I think that'd be a fun moment.
I really love you pointing out this specific moment. So I will need the moment of throwing the grenade, Kira.
Ooh. Yes.
Now, do you need grenade throw or the clap and let's go follow up?
All of it. Both. Definitely the cape look. The cape look is so great.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can we also put, you know what, maybe during Christmas time, the holidays, why not Mala? Please.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Funko, make it happen. That.
Yeah. Last one for me to run by, Jen, is Vi Moradi, who is, you know, from the Phasma novel, but has gotten, still at Galaxy's Edge as one of the great characters, because she's also in the book that ties in Black Spire. Yes. I would love that.
That's a great choice. And they can sell it at Disneyland.
Exactly.
I like it. See, this is good. We got ourselves a Funko Pop board here.
My other one. Now I feel like, Joseph, you and I are in a pitch meeting at the office at Funko. It's the book we just finished, Queen's Hope. I want a little cinema scene Funko Pop they do so well with Shmi and Beru trying to find the chips. Slaves on Tatooine to free them and to finish that that mission out. Like, I would love just a little workspace, you know, to dramatic, real tense scene, but one full of hope and purpose. So, Jen, I submit that to you.
I will approve that design. one last thing, is there anything about the timing with this? When does this Funko get released? The Padme one.
It said July. I'll see.
It's July.
I'll see if there's a specific one. Yeah.
Far away. I was like, does that mean that there might be a Padme appearance in Kenobi? Yeah. See, I'm already speculating. This is my problem.
Yeah. The pre-order is available now. Maybe. Mm. And again, it's an Amazon exclusive, and I know that might mean some folks don't want to get it or can't get it, but we're highlighting it here because of the big spirit behind the line is something that we think is pretty cool. So there you go. So Jen, get your pre-order in, or maybe you get one as the boss. Maybe they just hand you one.
Yes, they do from my desk.
All right. Before we go and take a quick break, we are going to give you our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, this is one that I actually haven't cracked open yet, which means I'm late on my homework assignment, but we're going to get there. What do you got?
We are recommending Brotherhood by Mike Chen. It is a Kenobi and Anakin adventure that I also have not started because I'm trying to finish another Kenobi book first. But we are very much looking forward to reading it. The reviews and reactions that have come out from people who got pre-orders have been really great. The cover is amazing, and I look at it every day. If you want to give it a listen so you are all caught up, when we finally get caught up, you can absolutely do that with this audiobook.
That's right. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook, and get your homework done before you review and discuss the book on ForceCenter. All right. We are going to take a quick break. On the other side, more news and a look back in this day in Star Wars history coming up here on ForceCenter.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our news fleet here. Let us get to some Kenobi news. This was, again, sometimes we talk about toys and run down the list, and sometimes we don't. It's a gut feeling around these parts, and this one was just very interesting. We got this on Star Wars Day. This news that Obi-Wan Wednesdays will begin on May 25th, or as Joseph calls it, Wednesday, because every day is Obi-Wan Day, as it should. New products related to the new series will drop every Wednesday from then until June 29th. The products, and in my notes it said the producers, but it's all the same. The products will be items that are, quote, revealed in the limited series. The first time items are the Black Series Force FX Elite Obi-Wan Kenobi lightsaber, and then the Black Series Darth Vader premium electronic helmet. I feel like a parent ordering it at an old layaway in the back of Sears. This is what I need. The old layaway.
I'm trying to say all the words correctly. I do not know what any of them means. He wants a Dagobah playset. What? I don't know.
He wants an AT-AT. It's ADA. Okay. First up, I'll start with you, Jen, just because I want to build up the suspense here with Joseph. Are you clearing space for any of these items? Can you even do that now? I don't know. What do you think?
I've run out of room. But you know what? That helmet, Darth Vader helmet, is incredible. At first, I just thought it was a prop. And I was like, oh, I guess it could be like Kylo Ren, just display it, you know? And, but that doesn't make any sense. So apparently you can put it on, right? You can wear it. Incredible. Yeah. It is also a little creepy because the inside is very accurate.
Totally.
It's pretty screen accurate. It might feel weird. The only thing is that the sounds are pre-recorded, correct? It's not like you can actually say something and it will change your voice, right?
Boy, I don't know. I didn't go that deep. I know there are voice changer type helmets.
Dig in here.
That makes a big difference if you're if you're walking around the house wearing it and you're limited to only things Vader has said.
Right. It's not to me. I'm like, all right. I mean, it's $150, and I don't know how much normally, like something that you could, I want to walk around the house and tell my children, do your tours.
This will take care of their fear of Star Wars.
Exactly. Eat your carrots.
Will eat your carrots. It is your destiny.
Right. But that to me is the one that I have my eye on for sure. Mm.
Just as, featuring iconic ventilation sounds, updated sculpt, magnetic multi-piece assemble. I'm trying to dig in here. That's a key thing. And it does require a lot of AAA batteries. So there you go. Factor that into your costs, not included. That's a great question because yes, I would, I saw that and I saw the how it looks on the inside. It's like, I just want this so I can reenact that Revenge of the Sith moment. Just my eyes go wide as the mask comes down. And Grace is like, do I have to put it on your face again? Again? Do I have to put it on your face again?
Man, if they made the whole surgery table, like that could be your bed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. If it was just some pre-recorded things, that would lower my enthusiasm a little bit, I will admit. I don't collect the lightsabers. It's just the way they have them on the displays and everything like that. Like, it just always makes me covet. So I don't know.
Yes,
right.
Joseph. Yes, are you clearing space for these?
Oh, there will be much coveting. I think that this is going to be a really fun, like, I'm going to need to restrain myself and really make choices because I have space issues in my home. Really, I still haven't figured out where the Razor Crest will live. So I got to be really careful. I'm compelled by large items that you can wear. Like, if I don't have anywhere to put the Vader helmet, maybe I can just wear it 24/7. That's my storage solution. I have not started collecting the Force FX lightsabers, which would be very dangerous because that's I would love this one. I would love the Rey one. I would love the Leia one. It's a dangerous habit to begin. So I'll give that some thought. Right now, I'm not smashing the purchase button or pre-order button on either of these, and I'm waiting to see what all else becomes available via Obi-Wan Wednesday.
Are you, so you just going to wait till like June 30th? Then you just go back and go, all right, what does daddy want? What does daddy want?
I know. The Force will tell daddy what he needs.
We've got a new t-shirt.
What were they talking about? Toys.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. And the other aspect of this, this might only, I admit, might only excite me. So again, we're excited, but also it's expected. This is a normal product marketing tie-in, right? I'm not shocked that there's Kenobi toys that are being rolled out along with the series. But I found myself really intrigued and excited by the list here, the items being revealed in the limited series. Meaning, this is this pitch of like, you got the lightsaber. We know we got Vader's helmet. That starts us off. But from here on out, it's going to be things tied to the show, revealed in this limited series. So am I alone in this excitement that this just takes my imagination to interesting places on what that could mean and what we don't even know yet? I don't know. Jen, am I crazy?
No, this is what I look forward to, because you know that there could be a breakout character, right? Mm-hmm. Frog Lady, for example. There could be a breakout character that we all want merch of that character. Or this is an interesting thing. I actually saw a video of Ewan McGregor on a talk show. It was a James Corden show. And he was holding up his action figure of Obi-Wan. And there was an area, somebody pointed this out, there was an area inside the box that was missing. Like, and so fans were going crazy, speculating, what could that thing be? It could be something very, mundane. Some were speculating like a droid or whatever. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know, even if it is just a droid, well, show it to me, but we'll get it when we get it.
I'll tell you what it is. Tell you what it is. It's Grogu, but it's like 10-year-old Grogu. It's like, it's an exclusive scoop.
An upsetting shape for Grogu to be squished into that little.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been sleeping out in a parking structure for 9 months to get that scoop across from the set. That's actually a great point, Jen. And that was a fun interview. So side note on that interview, I think it was the Kimmel interview. And I just love that Ewan McGregor in his early 50s, he is Obi-Wan Kenobi twice over now. And he's still kind of like, I get a doll. Look at my doll. It was really, really fun. Anyways, I'll stand aside. Joseph, am I wrong here? What are you thinking about?
I am guardedly optimistic. I really want there to be some really fun things, some surprise characters or some surprise that characters are being supported in a way that maybe we haven't expected, right? It'd be great if there was a brew week, if it's all brew merchandise. I think that taking that Bring Home the Bounty campaign into account, they definitely revealed some great Boba stuff. They definitely, once Grogu showed up, revealed a bunch of great Grogu stuff for the holidays. But then there was other things. There was like, and here's a High Republic book in the Bring Home the Bounty campaign of this is what we're revealing this week. So I'm a little cautious that not everything is going to be hyper-specific to the Obi-Wan show. Like, right. I think whatever week that we first really, really see Vader, I think that'll be a, maybe it'll be a little bit based on his new look, but I think here's the new Vader look on t-shirts, on socks, on ornaments, I think there'll be some of that. I think one of the other things is I think that there will be a lot of merch of Reva or Reva that will tell us how to pronounce her name correctly. I think, there'll be Funko Pops of that. I think that we've already seen that Obi-Wan is going to have a couple different outfits. So I think that we will see that. And I think it's more going to be like the variety of products featuring the characters that we know, but I really am hoping for a Frog Lady-esque surprise like Jennifer.
That's a great point. It's kind of where I went. Like I like the variations. Like I'm just trying to think what variation of Vader / Anakin we could get, which could be like some kind of flashback Anakin or assembly required Vader.
I mean, I think unmasked or injured or I think there's really going to be at least one different Vader look that is on everything.
Yes.
You know what they should do? My daughter has this like this body, this human anatomy thing where you take out the lungs, you take out the heart. Yeah. They should do that with Vader and you can put them together and then take here's his charred body. And then
I'm really, really hoping for toys. I was so thrilled by that Yeah, the Jimmy Kimmel interview with Mike Birbiglia sitting in for Jimmy Kimmel. Yep. And that review, Ewan McGregor being so great of like, here's my doll, and thinking and that, telling that whole story of like, they scan your whole body and still it sometimes somehow doesn't quite look like you, and saying that his episode one figure looked like Richard Chamberlain. It was so great. Such a sense of humor in a different perspective of this human who's had this weird career of like, I try to just be down to earth and relatable, but there's dolls of me everywhere. It's weird. They don't look like me. Yeah. But I was so thrilled by seeing that. Yep. They do have a black series. It made me so hopeful that there will be some 3¾ figures. And I think the big thing that I'm really hoping for out of all of this is some toys that help kids engage. I love all of the adult collectibles. I think there's going to be some things in this Kenobi show that are scary and adult, but that's always been true of Star Wars. And I think at the same time, it's kind of back to there's a battle of light and dark. There's Obi-Wan. He's got the blue lightsaber and he's the good guy. And there's Darth Vader and he's the bad guy who should be making better choices. But, you know, how can we help kids take that home? You know, is it toys? Is it a specific kind of clothing? I really think that is something that I want out of merchandise, is to let kids take it home and make it part of their life.
Would a Palpatine hologram playset with real hologram be in that category?
I would love it. I would love it. If that's one of the reveals, the Vader business meeting playset, I would absolutely love that.
That's great. Yeah, I don't have anything super specific, but I was thinking maybe we finally get Obi-Wan's treasure chest where he pulls out the lightsaber in New Hope, and maybe we get an idea of what goes in there other than lightsaber, or we picks it up at the swap meet or something in Mos Eisley.
That's a great detail.
Decorate your own hut. EOP plush. Yeah, I think there's a lot of fun possibilities. And yeah, Ken, you're right. That's great. If there is indeed a Palpatine appearance, it'd be fun to see what kind of merch would spring up around that.
Love that. I did buy a Palpatine over the last week and texted Joseph very excitedly. Like, do you need this? He's like, I got that one. All right. It's on the way. It's on the way to me. And I just was so excited to see that face. They captured it so well.
Can I throw out one other thing from that Jimmy Kimmel interview?
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously the thrill for me of seeing that new Kenobi action figure that I can't wait to get. When he's asked about the show, about the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, Ewan McGregor says a lot of the standard things about how Obi-Wan is in a dark place. But then he says this very specific thing of he has to decide to help someone or not. And that's how the story begins. And that was the only thing out of it that was kind of like all right, that's kind of a confirmation of some of the speculation around the trailers.
Yeah, good point on that. That was just kind of slipped in there.
We talked about that a lot when we were breaking down the new trailer, wondering about who Kumail Nanjiani is playing and wondering what the really inciting incident is. And that's a really fun confirmation to me of Obi-Wan being like, look, I've lost any spark for it, but I know I'm just supposed to sit here and watch over this kid. I'm supposed to stay away from him, or, you know, Uncle Owen will, just burn me with insults. So I'm just kind of trapped and stuck. And then somebody desperately comes to me and says, help me, please. And the temptation to give your life meaning again by doing what you want to do, actively help people. I'm just really thrilled by that confirmation from Ewan.
Yeah, well, that's in line with the, you know, how do you find a Jedi? It's their trail of compassion, right? And then some of the stuff the High Republic. What's that moment? Joseph, jog my memory of the is it Ty York? That is that whole when we're introduced to her and the villagers need her help. And she they finally ask, and she goes, there it is. They asked. I kind of have to do it.
Even though she's walked away, she's like, if somebody asks me directly for help, if they just hint about it or look sad, I'm not doing it. But if they look me in the face and go, I need your help, I am compelled.
Yeah.
And that's what gets him off world. That's what when he becomes a target. Yes.
I mean,
love it. Oh,
Jen, you're doing it. You're putting it all together. You're putting it all together.
The pieces are coming together.
And then he meets Frog Lady. You get even more merch.
God, Kenobi Frog Lady crossover. Could you imagine?
Wow. Oh, jeez. Wow.
Well, all that out of some good old fashioned toys. That's why we love talking about that stuff here. Spins our brains, our Star Wars loving brains, into other areas discussion here. Well, that's our look at the news. Before we get out of here today, we're going to take our look back and look ahead to Star Wars past. And looking at the end of this week, this coming Saturday is the birthday of George Lucas, born May 14th, 1944, in, as we all know by now, Modesto, California. Now, without a doubt, we owe everything to this stubbornly fierce artist who sat down with some pencils and a pad of paper to create this world we celebrate every week and learn more and more from. However, I want to go back. Let's go back to the early days of our fandom. When do you first recall learning about George Lucas and understanding his influence over Star Wars filmmaking and therefore your own life? Jennifer, do you have those early memories of that man in the flannel?
Yes, I do. I remember being very young and my dad, because my dad loves American Graffiti. That was his era. And so he would talk about George Lucas more so about, you know, it, just him as a filmmaker and specifically American Graffiti and, of course, Star Wars. So I was aware that he was a very, he made a huge impact on cinema and on my dad. And for that, I was like, wow, this guy's cool. Yes, absolutely. He is a brilliant, brilliant man.
Indeed. Joseph, your earliest memories of, hey, there's a guy that made all this.
Yeah, I think there was probably like a trading card that it was behind the scenes or maybe some image in a storybook. I think probably seeing one of those early behind the scenes. I remember in Empire Strikes Back behind the scenes and being fascinated with like the sort of claymation stop motion of the Tauntaun and being, you know, just kind of barely comprehending this idea of behind the scenes.
Right.
And I think at some points in my young fandom, I was a little uncertain if I wanted to see behind the curtain. Like I knew it. I knew there were people behind the curtain. But I remember like I had a Doctor Who book that was like full of great pictures of monsters and actors. And this was at the time where Doctor Who had not penetrated into American consciousness very much at all. And there was like one shot of a bunch of the actors and the producers having a drink at a cast party. And I remember just being like, no, I don't want to see that.
No, it's all real to me.
The doctor doesn't have pints. Nope. So I think I had a little bit of resistance. So I think as I got older and started doing more creative things myself, then I became really invested in who George Lucas is. How did he do this? Why did he make those choices?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I it's all around that time and getting that magazine, the Return of the Jedi magazine we've referenced here a lot, the one with that Yoda-like hand on the front cover holding the lightsaber and the white border around it. That magazine I flipped through so many times. And so there was like a collection of moments when I was like, oh, it's George. But I always go back in my mind to that picture of him. I think he's got a flannel, but also pullover cardigan sweater on or something like that, a sweater vest. And he's pointing at the model of the half-completed Death Star, right? And he's like kind of like, and the caption said, you know, George Lucas overlooks the design or something like that. And that one just was, that crystallized in my head of, oh, that's what he does. He points and says, hey, this is what I think. And that's where I started to grasp the concept of director, creator, writer, pointer, you know, he just points. So I love that. And yeah, you're right. And it grew. And there was a point in my younger life where, you know, you're dreaming of what you want to be. And I was like, I want to be like George Lucas, which I could never get to those heights, of course. But like that, it all started to go from that book and that magazine and just this idea of there's this person. And again, as you slowly learn, hundreds of people that made this all possible, but without a doubt comes out of his mind and that famous pad of paper that still kind of gets referenced, as we'll talk later on this week in the Boba Fett behind the scenes series there, or the gallery there. If you get the chance, and I was trying to remember, I put this question out, if either of you have had this chance before, if you get the chance to meet George, what's one thing you'd say and what is maybe one thing you'd ask, Joseph?
I've heard stories of people who've met George Lucas and that he has that, like, the way it was described to me was at an event where he was going to be approached by lots of people. The person who was telling me this was somebody who's very successful in his own field. So has a little bit of, you know, like, Maybe George even knows who I am. But the person told me this story of like, I'm sorry, George. I know you need to hear, you know, you hear this all the time, but you know, Star Wars is everything to me. Thank you very much. And he was like, yep, thank you. And went back to eating his fish or whatever.
Yeah.
At an event. Like, I think he's so, I don't know. There's just something in all of his interviews where he just feels like he loves Star Wars, obviously, and likes talking about it, but it seems like his mind is on to like the next thing, right? Like it feels almost to me like the most honorable thing you could do is ask him about the Lucasfilm Museum of Narrative Art, because that's where his mind is now, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I think if I said one thing, just to answer your question directly, Ken, I think I'd just say thank you, and I would just get the like nod and understand that a million people say that to him.
Yeah.
If I got a chance to like ask him a question and engage with him, I think the thing that I am most curious about that I don't know if I've heard him really dig into is asking him like in his lowest moments during the Star Wars journey, whether that's in the original trilogy trying to get it made or in the backlash to the prequels, in his lowest moments, like what kept his spirits up? Like so much of Star Wars is about finding hope in even the darkest moments. And like, I'd be curious if he has a thought on what made him resist fan pressure or negativity and, you know, gave him the conviction that he was on the right path to stay true to his, you know, idea, you know, what gave him strength? Was it a person? Was it his belief in the idea? Was it some form of his own spirituality? I would love to hear like his Star Wars story of how he kept hope to make Star Wars.
That's a wonderful question. If we can track him down at a food court in a mall, or maybe if we're shooting a documentary and he walks behind us, let's just flip around and ask him that. Because you know, it hit him because there's that one clip that's jumping to mind. It might have been one of the old Charlie Rose interviews or somewhere. He's just like, I don't know. Why would you make more? You make more and they get mad at you and they hate you for it. There's just, it hit his soul. Katie Lucas communicated that as well. So, you know, it hit him at one point, even as he was working on the Clone Wars that are, you know, slowly becoming a beloved series. And he's like, I'm still taking hits for it. Mm. You know, like, that's a great question. That'd be mine now. Here's what I'd do. I'd be like, hi, I'm going to call my friend Joseph. Stand by. He's got a question. Okay. Don't move.
Yeah. That seems like you get a chance to interview him kind of question, not like you go up to him at a fundraiser and like, sir, in your darkest hour, like,
I haven't had a chance to meet him. I've told the story here, but I brushed shoulders with him at the Grove in Hollywood and saw him. Wow. I couldn't believe no one else was reacting to him. And I didn't like you, Joseph, in that moment. I was like, thank you is not even going to cut it here. I just need to pass him. I just need to let him have his day. But we have some people in our circle, some people we know. Obviously, George is a real human. He's out there and about. Many people have met him. And I don't think it's ever, I've never heard a negative story, just kind of what you're describing. Like, yep, I acknowledge that I changed your life. I'm going to finish my fish dinner and good luck to you. Like, that's kind of the energy. And it's not a negative energy. It's just a, yep, cool. Thank you. Appreciate it. Got it. On to the next.
And I should say also, I have talked to some other people who have worked with him who've said like, he just really is a down to earth guy and he just wants to talk about life things. And he's a great guy to talk about, you know, cars, food preferences, life.
Yep. So there you go. Jen, anything you'd ask him? What's the one thing you'd ask and say?
You know, I would want to be Robert Rodriguez getting the filmmaking advice, which he shared in the, well, he didn't share what the advice was in the Boba Fett Disney Gallery documentary. Mm. But I mean, I just can't imagine to be able to, for him to see me as like someone that he could talk to in that way and let his guard down, because he's heard everything. What am I going to say to him? You know, oh, I love Star Wars. No, I mean, to me at this point, if I were to ever see him, I might bring up like Norman Rockwell, because I know that's such a passion for him and he's collected that art. Maybe talk about the museum. But truth is, I would be terrified and I just would stare at him from afar, you know, freaking out and maybe like take some sly photos. Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go. Well, we'll update you all if we ever have the chance of cornering George at a dinner and asking him these questions. But hey, happy birthday ahead of it. But happy birthday, George. What a life. What a legacy. And what, just you know, a man enjoying food court dinner. I love that image. Love that legacy. I love everything about it. So there you go. Happy birthday, George. That is our look at Star Wars news this week. Thank you all for joining along here. You can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube. You can also find us on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of different spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Just search, you'll find us. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can get into our Discord from there and celebrate daily with Force Center friends. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com, to get updates on things like cool comedy shows. If you're local here, I'll be performing at Flappers soon on May 19th and also June 4th at the Troubadour, a famous music location. Going to tell some jokes there, see if I can live up to Elton John in that regard there. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be fun. Ticket information on my website. We love to highlight a lot of different places to help and support causes. And I'm going to, for one more week here, highlight the globalgiving.org. This is the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund, where you can help the people affected by the war going on over there. I say last time, not going to be last week. There's other things, but I'm trying to find the right place for me to donate regarding a lot of the stuff with the Supreme Court stuff going on and the women's right to choose, abortions, birth control, health, safety, all those kind of things. Really, I'm in one of those upset modes, and I want to find the right place to put my energy and right place to highlight where to donate and where to go. So that's just a personal confession for me. But I also don't want to forget what's going on in Ukraine, something so tied to my own family history. So globalgiving.org is where you can go donate to help those affected over there. Jennifer, I'll pass it over to you. Where can they find you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Jennifer Landa, and TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138. And I too am feeling terrified about the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned. So, you know, we can take action by donating to an organization like the National Network of Abortion Funds. They're a great resource that can connect you with local grassroots organizations. You can also find out more about their work at abortionfunds.org. And I think it's also important to remember that Roe versus Wade will also affect how some miscarriages are treated. Mm-hmm. So this decision will affect countless people. And mm-hmm. hopefully this nightmare won't become a reality, but we can stop it, hopefully, by taking some sort of action.
Well, that's a good note. I am actually going to write that down, Jen. Thank you.
Yeah, National Network of Abortion Funds. Yeah, they're great. They're great. And they have so many local organizations that you can reach out to and donate money. And it's mm-hmm. awesome.
Perfect. Yeah, no, absolutely. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all at Joseph Scrimshaw. Everything else, including my podcast, Obsessed, is on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. I want to, I am feeling all of the emotions and concerns that you two have both expressed so wonderfully. I'm going to continue to promote Vote Forward. Their website is votefwd.org. And what that is they have collected the addresses of people who are certainly registered to vote, but maybe not voting for whatever reason. And you write a letter to them and you add your personal reason why you think voting is important. They've been doing this for a couple of years, and they have done the research to determine that it does have an effect. It raises voter turnout. I signed up this week for another 100 letters to write. They're got just thousands and thousands of letters to write that then all are sent at the strategic moment before the midterms. I am really, really understanding of a lot of people feeling emotionally frustrated that everybody voted very hard and pushed and worked hard to try to get people elected to stop some of the things that we don't want to happen to or to proactively make some of the things that we want to happen. Things that are, when you look at the actual polls and the data, are wanted by the majority of Americans to happen or to stop from happening. That there is this energy out there to make those things happen. And a lot of people feeling upset that we pushed hard and nothing happened. And I so understand that on an emotional level. Mm-hmm. Not that nothing happened, but that you know, that this frustration with the just vote and it will fix everything. The reason that I'm taking a moment with that is I just want to be very respectful. I don't think just vote is the answer to everything. But, and I understand the emotional complexity with that. But on a strategic level, I just believe in vote, vote, vote. Pay attention to the primaries, because that's where we can choose the candidates that best represent our views. Once candidates are selected through the primaries, for me, the choice is very, very stark at this point. And strategically, it is either at least defending the status quo of what we have now and hopefully moving forward, or going back to an older world that is going to hurt so many people. And that is so important to me that the difference is so stark and something I believe strongly. And this is the proactive thing I can do, vote forward, that makes me feel like I am taking an action within my power that makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely stand by that. And I understand everything going on out there. Yeah, it's easy to, you should be angry or should be, you know, upset. Obviously, we're all three expressing that here, but also, you know, it's easy to get cynical. It's easy to be dismayed, easy to be discouraged. And those are all real and valuable emotions to build from. But don't, if possible, don't lose sight of hope. Don't lose sight of, of the way forward, and don't lose sight of empathy. So I absolutely support and agree with you on that one there, Joseph.
Excellent. Thank you for letting me take a moment to be clear that of the complexity of what I am advocating for when I advocate vote forward.
Absolutely. Jennifer, thank you again. Thank happy you. Belated Mother's Day, but you know, getting ahead of next year's there as well. So that is it for this week. For all the adults about to put their faces in a Vader mask and talk to their kids, we'll see you next time here on Force.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.